Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Nova M Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Hang out for a while tonight, all right? I don't know how weird it's going to get, but you know how it usually goes in this program. Hope you all had a lovely Mother's Day. Molly and I took Kathy to brunch at a little country, well, I was going to say restaurant. I guess it's a restaurant. It's just been remodeled. They turned it into a Cajun place. And one of our friends was singing there and playing her guitar for Mother's Day. So Molly being Molly, she danced and twirled in her summer dress and until people started throwing biscuits at her. Sit the kid down! No, just kidding. She had a great time. Kathy got a rose and food poisoning. It wasn't pretty, but it was Mother's Day. We have a big, important announcement tonight. We have a $10,000 winner in our Nova M Radio Founders Club contest, the 5,000th subscriber. That criterion was met over the weekend, and a winner's name was drawn, and we're going to get him on the phone tonight. He lives in San Diego. Ian left a message at his house. And when we got the email, what did the email say, Kathy? That he was in the process of having his home foreclosed on him, right? And it was, you know, it was just a random drawing for a lot of people who joined in, maybe the past month or so. If you weren't aware that we were running this contest, makes no difference. Your name was included. Anyone who has joined from day one up until the 5,000th subscriber, as promised, had their name entered into the sweepstakes. And anyway, the winner's name was it's David from San Diego. We have a call into David. I want to get him on the air so we can chat with him for a second. He sent an email, or when they called him today from Phoenix, from the home office in Phoenix, he said his house was about to be foreclosed, so he said this couldn't have come at a better time. Anyway, thanks to all founding members, past, present, and future, for your support at Nova M Radio. And we hope you continue to become a founding member. All right. David from San Diego. We'll talk to him a little bit later. George Bush got his daughter married off over the weekend. I guess that's one way to put it. I mean, you know, wedding is a wedding. I'm sure it was wonderful. But he did that on Saturday, and then today he's back to rattling his nuclear weapons. He today said that Iran, are you ready? Are you ready for this? Iran is, quote, the single biggest threat to peace in the Middle East. End quote. Does that sound familiar? Iran is the single biggest threat to peace in the Middle East. That's the quote. You know he's going to Israel to celebrate Israel's 60th anniversary. He said, quote, to me it's the single biggest threat to peace in the Middle East, the Iranian regime. He told that to Israel's Channel 10. He went on to say, quote, they're funding of Hezbollah. Look what's happening to Lebanon now, a young democracy trying to survive. End quote. Now, you know, in recent days, Lebanon has been driven to the brink of civil war because of these sectarian street clashes between Hezbollah, which is Shia, and Sunni, which is the Sunni Muslims. And, of course, we support the Sunni Muslims in that particular attempt to further destabilize the Middle East. Don't forget, part of the overarching plan of the Bush crime family is to overthrow the government of Lebanon and install a U.S.-Israel-friendly regime. So any comments that George Bush makes about what is happening in Lebanon, you have to take with a boxcar full of salt, because more than likely the recent events the past couple of weeks have been instigated by activities promoted by both the CIA and the Mossad in order to stir up more sectarian killing and violence inside Lebanon. This is how they operate. This is how they operate. Ah, I can't stand it. Anyway, Bush declined to comment on a major corruption investigation launched against the Israeli premier. Olmert is suspected of having received funds illegally from a U.S. businessman before he became premier in 2006. And this is an ongoing investigation. The police have interviewed, Israeli police have interviewed Olmert several times. I think they have come into his house with warrants. It's really crazy. But Bush said he has great relations with the prime minister. He says, I find him to be a frank man and an honest man and an open man. And this is the same guy that said he looked into the heart and soul of, or looked into the soul of Vladimir Putin and realized that he was dealing with a soul brother. Oh, God, I can't wait till this jackass is out of office. I am just so sick of this man. Just so sick of him. I'm seriously, aren't you? Aren't you just over the top with this guy? One of the reasons, here's a couple of reasons. Last Tuesday, the Bush crime family said they would veto legislation designed to protect workers from, no, this is 2 weeks ago, from combustible dust explosions. I mentioned this, but I want to mention it again. We had 13 people blown to, just burned, incinerated here in Georgia, down near Savannah, Port Wentworth, back in February. And so there was a legislation sponsored by a Representative John Barrow, a Democrat, whose district includes the South Georgia accident site. And the legislation simply would require the Federal Occupational Safety and Health Administration to issue regulations for industrial dust that can build up and explode. It doesn't have to be sugar dust. It can be fertilizer dust. There's so many things that dust can ignite, and then people die. And it's hideous deaths. Their lungs explode. Their skin catches fire. They burn to death. It's awful. But Bush said he would veto it because Bush, quote, has serious concerns with the expedited and one-size-fits-all regulatory approach required by the bill, which will impact as many as 200,000 workplaces in a variety of industries, end quote. Anything that has to do with helping Americans, with promoting the idea of responsibility on the part of corporate America, that's a no-no. You don't mess with corporate America with the Bush crime family. I swear to God, when Obama becomes president, if he kowtows to the corporations to the extent that Hillary Clinton has and George Bush has and the rest of these thugs, I will actively seek to impeach him. I'll do whatever it takes to remove the next president from office legally and peacefully. This is enough. Now, here's some more. There's a Kansas-based meatpacking company called Creekstone Farms Premium Beef. And what they want to do is test all the cattle that comes there for mad cow disease. That's all they want to do. They want to test the beef that passes through their factory that gets packed through their factory and make sure it is not contaminated with mad cow disease. The Bush crime family says no. The Bush crime family told a three-judge panel last Friday that it should reverse a lower court ruling that allowed Creekstone Farms had to go to court to get permission to test all the cattle that came through their slaughterhouse. They had to go to court to get permission. Now, why do they want to do that? Because they don't want to... It's not because they're altruistic and want people to eat clean meat. Oh, stop. It's because they didn't want to deal with lawsuits down the road in any way, shape, or form. So they said, look, when these cows come here, we'll just check them all for mad cow disease. The Bush crime family said no, because if you do that, you see, then everybody will have to do it. You'll be setting a bad example. The bad example will be testing beef to make sure it's fit for human consumption. No, don't do that. That's bad. The marketplace will determine if enough people eat mad cow disease infected beef and then wind up gibbering maniacs while their own brains are eaten full of holes. Well, then people will stop buying from that particular meat packer, right? That's how Bush thinks. So now, Creekstone claims the Agriculture Department has no authority to prevent companies from going ahead to test. But the Bush crime family is asking a court to overturn a lower court ruling that says, go ahead, Creekstone, test them.
humans can coexist peacefully. It's more of Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Okay, the Bush crime family doesn't want legislation to protect workers from combustible dust explosions, like the one that killed 13 people here at a sugar plant in Georgia. The Bush crime family also has its lawyers urging a federal appeals court to keep meat packers from testing all their cattle for mad cow disease. On Friday, Bush lawyers told a three-judge panel they should reverse a lower court ruling that allowed Kansas-based Creekstone Farms Premium Beef to conduct comprehensive testing. To satisfy American customers? No. To satisfy their overseas customers. Japan, China, there are several countries in the European Union, the UK, I believe. If the beef doesn't show up as certified mad cow free, they won't buy it. Now, we Americans, well, we can just, you know, to hell with us. We don't matter. We don't have anybody in this country that speaks for the safety and health of the consumer. Food and Drug Administration? Oh, give me a break. That's a paper tiger. Bush has reduced it to a shadow. So not only do we not have any protection here, but when Creekstone Farms wants to go ahead and test so they can sell their product overseas and make sure they don't get sued by Americans or anyone else, the Bush crime family says no, because if you do that, then other meat packers are going to do it, and the next thing you know, we got more regulations. These sons of bitches, I swear, I cannot wait until they're gone. I can't wait. Now, last Wednesday, an EPA official, another whore for George W. Bush, no offense to sex workers, said there's a, quote, distinct possibility, end quote, that the EPA will not take action to rid drinking water of a toxic rocket fuel ingredient that has contaminated public water supplies around the country. Do you understand? The EPA said, nah, we don't think so. No, we're not going to take any action. You got rocket fuel in your drinking water? Ah, well, buy bottled water. Democratic senators say that's unacceptable. They argue that states and local communities shouldn't have to bear the expense of cleaning up their drinking water of perchlorate, which has been found in at least 395 sites in 35 states. Wasn't there a movie about this, for Christ's sake, 10 years ago? 395 sites in 35 states. Perchlorate interferes with thyroid function and poses developmental health risks for children and particularly to fetuses. So every time these right-wing bastards tell you that they want to protect the life of the little blastocysts, walk up, look them in the face, and tell them they are goddamn liars. They are liars. This is to get the bobbleheads to vote for them. And that's all. Benjamin Grumbles. Don't you like that name? Benjamin Grumbles, Assistant Administrator for Water at the EPA, told a Senate hearing that EPA is aware that perchlorate is widespread and poses health risks, but, he said, after years of study, EPA has yet to determine whether regulating perchlorate in drinking water would do much good. What are you going to do? Screw your fetuses. We really don't care. We don't like Christians either. We pretend like we do. We pretend like we're anti-abortion. We pretend like all this stuff. We don't care. We don't give a damn about any of this. Money. Show us the money. Perchlorate? Rocket fuel in your drinking water? Well, blast off, baby! That's a joke. Grumbles? Grumbles told Senator Barbara Boxer at the hearing it was possible that instead of a regulation, maybe EPA will issue a public health advisory, which will provide information. This is what you're drinking. This is your body on water. This is your body on rocket fuel. Notice your body's dead. After the hearing, this piece of human waste, Benjamin Grumbles, told reporters that a decision to regulate perchlorate was... it's still on the table. you know, maybe we get around to it. Most perchlorate contamination comes from Defense Department activities. No! Really? I thought it was a local high school science class blowing off rockets on the parade ground. Hey, let's go blow off a rocket. Okay, what about the groundwater? Okay, let's not. The Pentagon could face huge cleanup costs if EPA sets a national drinking water standard for the contaminant. Perchlorate is particularly widespread in California and the Southwest, like over there in Phoenix, where it's been found in groundwater and in the Colorado River, which, by the way, is a drinking water source for 20 million people. Okay, we'll put out an advisory. This is your body on clean, clear water. This is your body on perchlorate. The one is animated. The other one is just lying there. Let's call it an EPA advisory. This is what these sons of bitches do. I will be so glad. I will vote for an alley rat before I would vote for another Republican.
Not arsenic in the water, I'd be worried about.
No, I wouldn't worry about the arsenic. Worry about the perchlorate. Oh, my goodness, the Bush crime family. It's about 25 before the hour. Is Dave on the line now? Dave from San Diego, who is the winner of the Nova M Founders $10,000. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Fantastic, I'm telling you.
I didn't know that we had hit the 5,000 and that they, when did they call you?
Well, I didn't get a call. I got an email this afternoon from Billy, and I responded to the email to find out if it was, if I wasn't getting scammed by somebody, when they started asking for your Social Security number for a W-9 form.
Oh, no.
So no, I called them, and they said no, and I talked a couple of times to some people that they're at Nova M, and it was just for sure. I got the information in the mail on the way to Arizona because I could sure use the money right now.
Yeah, what was... Tell us this, if you don't mind, and we're not going to give your last name for a number of obvious reasons, but what were the circumstances around that you're dealing with right now where this money may help you?
Well, it wasn't my fault, but I've got sort of involved in a financial mess, and I'm forced to sell my house. Mm-hmm. And right now with the housing market, I wanted to sell my house before I got into a position of having to foreclose. And having a black mark on my credit rating. So right. I'm in the process of trying to sell my house. I live here in San Diego, and it's a tough market right now, and I'm sort of living on fumes, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and things like that, trying to make ends meet until this house can be sold and I can get from underneath the mortgage payment. And all of a sudden, now I've got a couple extra bucks in my pocket to make it a little easier because the bills still have to be paid until this thing's sold. And also, my daughter's got herself into a real mess. Her husband had a problem and got incarcerated, and I've been wanting to help her out
with
the bills with my grandkids and stuff.
Right.
So this is going to help both of us.
Well, that's great. When Billy called us today and told us, I said, well, no offense to Las Vegas gamblers, but I'm glad it was somebody like Dave that won.
Oh, man, you cannot believe the timing of this. I could sit here and I could talk for hours and tell you what's going on, but to make a long story short, this is just the most perfect timing for anybody in the world today is to get this money for me in this situation I'm in right now. It's just, I'm so grateful for it.
I'm just glad to hear it. I am really glad to hear it on a couple of levels. First of all, it means we hit that 5,000 mark at Novam Founders.
Yes.
But even more so, you know, if something like this, you know, just pop up and help somebody out. Wow. I mean, what a nice thing that is. And so I'm really glad that it came down for you the way it came up. When did they tell you you're going to get the money?
Well, they didn't tell me that. I just sent the information in the mail today, but, you know, back to Novam. But, you know, it'll come.
You know, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It'll come, or I'm taking a road trip over to Phoenix. One of the two, you know.
Go see Billy.
Yeah, I will.
Go see Billy and say, yeah. Where's my check? I'm here to be paid. Where's my check? Listen, good luck, Dave. And seriously, I mean, that's, you know, that's kind of like, oh, good luck. But seriously, with the stuff you're dealing with.
It's all going to work out okay. You know, everything always works out okay if you stay in the solution.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And let's just hope the country can do that, too, stay in the solution and get through the crap we're in this country.
I hear that.
I live in here in San Diego, Mike. We sure miss you here on KLSD 1360. But, you know, I'm able to podcast you every night and listen to you folks over there. And it's really I'll tell you, I'm sure glad we got the podcast.
Well, me too. Thanks a lot. Dave, take care, man, okay?
Okay, Mike, thanks for calling.
All right. Take care, pal.
Okay, bye-bye.
Dave from San Diego, the $10,000 winner. When I got talked with Billy today, it was just good to see that somebody. Again, no offense to gamblers in Las Vegas or people that might use the money for something. You know, just go out and blow and have fun, which is nothing wrong with that either. But to see that somebody won it, who all of a sudden can use it, I just think it's great. That's all. So. Dave in San Diego was the winner. When are we going to do it again? Are we going to do this again? You don't know? All right.
That's way above my pay grade.
Yeah, I know. Me too. Oh, now, there's one more thing that the Bush crime family, this kind of ties into what Dave was saying. I love this. This is from last Thursday's Times. As the House prepared to vote on a housing relief bill offered by Democratic leaders, President Bush on Wednesday told the lawmakers, in effect, don't bother! Son of a bitch. I will veto. I'll veto the bill. It's moving through the House today. If it makes it to my desk, you know, I will. Bush's, the Times reports Bush's personal pledge to veto the measure that was put together by Barney Frank, the Democrat from Massachusetts who heads the Finance Committee, Financial Services Committee, made it less likely that a bipartisan housing deal will be achieved soon. What? Want some help? No, I'm not going to. Uh-uh. No, I ain't got no help. No, because that would that wouldn't work. Now, 39 Republicans. Then Friday, that was on Wednesday or Thursday. Then the next day, the Washington Post reported that the House went ahead and approved. You know, even though it's going to be vetoed, this plan to rescue hundreds of thousands of homeowners at risk of foreclosure by helping them trade these weird loans they got. I mean, let's face it, I have a gut feeling that most people who took these loans had not a clue what they were doing. I'm not trying to make excuses for people who might have deliberately scammed the government, but you know what I'm saying. 39 Republicans joined Democrats in supporting the bill. What they're trying to do is unfreeze mortgage payments by expanding FHA's reach and getting some assistance to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the two mortgage giants. I don't know that that's a good idea. But anyway, it would also create a $7,500 tax credit for first-time home buyers who try to boost sales and slow plummeting home prices. So people who are not caught in this vice might be able to get a home on a reasonable or real basis. But anyway, 39 Republicans joined all the Democrats in doing this. That must mean there are 39 Democrat or Republicans in the House who are up for re-election who think maybe, just maybe, they can get re-elected if they do something like this. You know this is against basic principles to Republicans. Republicans don't care about anybody. The only thing they care about is satisfying the people that paid for their ticket, punched their ticket to put them in Washington, and that's corporate America. Anything that even has the slightest whiff of consumer orientation, kill it, stab it, murder it in the crib. No! Don't let the little bastard out. He'll be crawling along the floor. Next thing you know, it'll be walking and then running, and then it will lynch us. Kill it, quick! Bastards. I will be so glad when these people are gone. Do you remember 8 years ago, back in 2000, when, we've had enough of this Clinton nonsense. We're gonna put the adults in charge now. Huh? We're going to run this country like a business. Yeah, only they ran it like Enron, didn't they? God. And you want more of the same? You Republican jackasses out there, or worse, I don't care about you people, but worse, you Democrats who are still whining and bitching and complaining like 3-year-olds that if Clinton doesn't get it, you're voting for McCain, or if Obama doesn't get it, you're voting for McCain. You know, I mentioned last week, y'all ought to be sent to timeout. Well, you know, what a 3-year-old childish idea. Did you hear this latest? In Newsweek, Michael Isikoff reported that the man chosen by John McCain's presidential campaign to run this summer's Republican convention, a guy from Arizona named Doug Goodyear, he's causing a few headaches within the ranks of these Republican animals. You want the problem? Well, Mr. Goodyear is the CEO of a bunch of pukes called the DCI Group. That's a whorish gang of thugs that earned $3 million last year lobbying for ExxonMobil. ExxonMobil, but it gets worse. Isikoff revealed that DCI was paid almost $500,000 a couple of years ago to represent Burma's military junta. You know, Myanmar, huh? Leading what Isikoff described as a PR campaign to burnish the junta's image, drafting releases praising Burma's efforts to curb the drug trade, and denouncing falsehoods by the Bush administration that the regime engaged in rape and other abuses. End quote. Well, within a couple of hours, Goodyear resigned.
Today I offered the convention my resignation so as not to become a distraction in this campaign. I strongly continue to support John McCain. I wish him the best of luck. He was asked whether Team McCain had given him the boot. Goodyear said, no, my decision. It was just the right thing to do.
This guy would know the right thing to do the way George Bush would know, anything.
From the left, it's more of Mike Malloy.
It's coming from the feel that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from sirens night and day.
Thank you, Leonard.
From the files of the
host, it's 10 before the hour. Bridget writes, regarding the perchlorate in the water, the rocket fuel thingy, wasn't that what Aaron Brockovich was all about, Kathy? Wasn't that what the movie was all about? Oh, well. That seems like such a long time ago. Hi, Mike. It's stories like this that make you want to take all those so-called Democrats who think their candidate is the only one and pour contaminated water down their throats. Well, that's pretty close to waterboarding, Bridget. You support Hillary and won't vote for Obama if he's the nominee? Here, let me walk you through a clear-cut old-growth forest and take you to a hog feed lot. You support Obama and won't vote for Hillary if she's the nominee? Let me take you to the beach where untreated sewage is flowing freely into the ocean, or out to sea where the Navy is doing sonar tests that result in beached and dead whales and dolphins. Let me take you to Idaho and Wyoming where the wolves who'd made a tentative recovery are being slaughtered because they're no longer listed as endangered. There is so much more at risk than whether or not a candidate is liberal enough or progressive enough. Having a D behind their name is certainly no guarantee that they'll do the right thing, but I guarantee you that if they have an R behind their name, it's all over. These Republican thugs have raped and pillaged this planet, and they will never stop. With the Democrats, there's at least a chance. Bridget. Yeah, the assault on everything. I've never seen anything like this. You know, I understand that corporate America has been in a death struggle with political America for the past 120 years to see who could win. Corporate America won. They dictate where the wars will happen. Can you goddamn believe that? Corporate America. No, not the U.S. Congress. U.S. Congress hasn't declared war since 1941. Corporate America dictates where your son will die if he goes into combat. It's astonishing. It's mind-boggling. And with that kind of power, do you think that corporate America say, okay, we get to determine the wars, but we won't puke and crap in your water? Oh, on second thought, we will puke and crap in your water because we don't have to drink it. You think they would say, okay, we get to determine where your sons will die and where you go to war, and we also will puke and crap in your water, but I'll tell you what, we won't puke and crap in the air you have to breathe. How's that? Ah, no, on second thought, we're going to do that too. And we're going to clear-cut your forests, and we're going to destroy everything. Why? Because we can. You bastards. Man. Whatever happened to Ron Paul? The reason I ask, not that I give a damn, but former Republican Nazi Bob Barr from here in Georgia, Bob Barr, who occasionally writes a libertarian column that dovetails nicely with what progressives have been saying about certain issues for, maybe 150 years. And everybody, when Bob Barr writes one of these columns about government snooping, which he's opposed to, from a libertarian standpoint, not from a progressive, decent human being standpoint, he's got to politicize it. This dumb bastard has to make everything political or he can't relate to it, see? Anyway, he has launched a Libertarian Party presidential bid as of today. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. He says voters are hungry for an alternative to the status quo. And he says he will dramatically cut the federal government. Hey, Bob, hey, dumbass, Ron Paul is about 2 years ahead of you. Who? Ron Paul? I love the way the Associated Press reports this. His candidacy throws a wild card into the White House race that many believe could peel away votes from Republican Senator John McCain. Given the candidate's similar positions on fiscal policy, Barr, get this, Barr has hired Ross Perot's former campaign manager. Barr says that he knows some Republicans have tried to discourage him from running, but he said he's not running to play spoiler or to make a point. He's running to win. Oh, Christ. Yeah, I'll tell you what, Bob. I'll run, and I'll put you on as my vice president on the ticket, okay? And we will have as much chance together as you have with whatever neo-Nazi you're going to put on. Oh, never mind. This is just absolutely crazy. He's first got to get the Libertarian nomination at the National Convention for that party, which begins, sometime this month, May 22nd. If he wins the White House, he said he would immediately freeze discretionary spending in Washington. He also would begin withdrawing troops from Iraq. Ooh, and consider slashing spending at federal agencies such as the Department of Education, Department of Commerce, as well as overseas military bases. You go, Bob. He also said he would strictly enforce immigration laws. Barr had quit the Republican Party 2 years ago, saying he had grown disillusioned with its failure to shrink government. Oh, and its willingness to scale back civil liberties in fighting terrorism. Now, remember, Bob Barr was one of the House impeachment managers who went after Bill Clinton. Not that I care. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Get the nomination, Bob. Seriously, get the nomination. I hope you do. I hope you do. Do another Ross Perot on this war hero, John McCain. Okay, Bob? You go, Bob. Eh? I know. Bob Barr and Ron Paul. All right, Ron Paul and Bob Barr. You go, boys. And when you're finished playing with each other, you know, let's see what Democrat wins. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Here's something you may have missed on the evening news. I don't know, over the past couple of days. When did this break in the L.A. Times? When was this? Damn it, I don't see. Maybe it was just today. It's at L.A. Times and Information Clearinghouse. I love the way they do it at the Times. Listen to this. There was something interesting missing from Major General Kevin Bergner's introductory remarks to journalists at his regular news briefing in Baghdad on Wednesday. What was missing? The word Iran, or any form of it. It was especially striking as Bergner, the U.S. military spokesman here, announced the extraordinary list of weapons and munitions that had been uncovered in recent weeks, since fighting erupted between Iraqi and U.S. security forces and Shiite militiamen. It goes on to talk about these 20,000 items of ammunition, explosives, and weapons that Iraqi forces seized in the city of Karbala, plus 570 explosive devices, 9 mortars, 4 anti-aircraft missiles, 45 RPGs, and in the southern city of Basra alone, 39 mortar tubes, 1,800 mortars and artillery rounds, 600 rockets, 387 roadside bombs, none of which came from Iran. In a sharp reversal of its long-standing accusations against Iran arming militants in Iraq, the U.S. military has made an unprecedented, albeit quiet, confession. The weapons they had recently found in Iraq were not made in Iran at all. So, L.A. Times correspondent Tina Sussman was in Baghdad, and she filed the story. And here's just a couple of sentences. Quote, a plan to show some alleged Iranian-supplied explosives to journalists last week in Karbala and then destroy them was canceled after the U.S. realized none of it was from Iran. A U.S. military spokesman attributed the confusion to a misunderstanding that emerged after an Iraqi army general erroneously reported the items were of Iranian origin. When U.S. explosive experts went to investigate, they discovered they're not Iranian at all. So, where do you suppose they're from? Where do you suppose? The United States of America is the largest exporter of weaponry on Earth. Number two is Russia. Number three is, I believe, China, or is it the UK? Where do you suppose the weapons came from? Now, did you hear any of this today? I didn't. Charlie Gibson didn't start his ABC newscast tonight by saying, "Good news, America! Iran has not been supplying all those weapons that we were told last week they had been supplying." You know how I know? Well, number one, I'm Charlie Gibson. But number two, the U.S. military said they're not. Oh, God. And George Bush refers to Iran even today as the biggest threat to peace in the Middle East. No, the biggest threat to peace in the Middle East, George, is the one-sided attitude the United States has where it concerns the Israeli-Palestinian issue. If the U.S. and a couple of its Western allies, like, oh, I don't know, pick one. Ah, got one. The U.K. would ever, ever, ever approach the issue of the apartheid that's going on in the territories and the troubles between Israel and the Palestinian, troubles between Israel and Palestine, if that could ever be addressed honestly and in a balanced way. Yeah. My goodness. You mean all that weaponry? That, who was it? David Petraeus? And Dick Cheney just got out there, when was it, a week ago? 2 weeks ago? Just frothing at the mouth? Getting all damn near, Cheney way, sexually aroused because, more killing! Here we are. Look! Oops. So the weaponry wasn't displayed. I wonder why. I wonder what the made-in-blank little tags said. Huh? Made in Alabama? Made in California? Made in Wyoming? Where do we make stuff like that? Huh? 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 Made in Russia? Made someplace outside London? I don't know, and you don't know, and Charlie Gibson doesn't know, and nobody knows, but one thing we do know, they were not made in Iran. Oh, my. Well, then, doesn't that kind of pee all over the plan to go kill thousands, hundreds of thousands of innocent Iranian civilians because they're revolutionary or the Republican or whatever the hell they are, guards. The army of Iran has been declared by George, by God, Bush to be an official terrorist organization. The army. This would be like the United States declaring that the British Navy is officially a terrorist organization. Huh? That makes sense, doesn't it? Oh, okay. Now we can go bomb the British Navy, because we've said they're a terrorist organization, and they have been. These people need to be gotten out of office. They need to be put on trial. They need to be get a fair trial based on the rules and regulations and parameters set out at Nuremberg in 1946, and 1947, and 1948, and then they need to be found either guilty or innocent of crimes against humanity, and if they are found guilty, they should be dealt with under the strictures of international law. Who? Oh, George Bush, Dick Cheney, Wolfowitz, Rumsfeld, Ari Fleischer. You want the whole list? You know what the list is. You know what the list is. Regarding the effort by Democrats to get a homeowner's bill in front of the twit in the White House, something that he would sign, Tim in Indiana writes, I don't get these Democrats crawling all over themselves trying to water down this housing bill enough to get the support of Mensa Man. If he's going to veto any bill you send him, why not send him the best possible bill? Make the Republican scum look like the soulless corporate whores that they are. Come on, Democrats, wake up. Yeah, Tim in Indiana. Yeah, absolutely. Why not do that? Why not send bills that are very clear? What is wrong with the Democratic Party leadership? What the hell are they going to do when they wind up with a veto-proof majority in the House and the Senate and a Democrat in the White House? What are they going to do? What are they going to do? Are they going to find their spines then, their courage then? Is that when they're going to be courageous? When they outnumber the enemy 1,000 to 1? Is that how you display or demonstrate your courage? Whatever happened to courage under fire? I hate the Democrats. I just goddamn hate them. I hate the leadership of the Democratic Party. Cowards. Cowards. Every last one of them. Coward. Coward. Oh, let's try to get this. Let's change it all here. Let's change this and change that so that George will sign it. Ooh, and then we can go back and tell our constituents we got a mortgage bill passed that will do what? Oh, that's right. Refinance people's loans. Oh, God, we're Democrats. We're for the people, you know. Well, that's what Democrats are supposed to be. They're supposed to be for the people, aren't they? So why? Why do they do this every single time? Tim's right. Why do they do this? Why not send him a bill that says something? I don't care if it's about perchlorate in the water or dust explosions in factories or refinancing houses or testing all the cattle in this country for mad cow. Why don't these damn Democrats do something? You know the answer to that as well as I do. Gasoline.
ExxonMobil is barely getting by. With millions in profits, it's just another lie. Hey, don't it make you red state? Hey, don't it make you red state? Hey, don't it make you red state blue?
Got the flying monkey right blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
Did you hear about Fallujah and 100,000?
21 past the hour. Nora writes in regarding Bob Barr. Mike, understand the first tax Libertarian Barr wants to get rid of is the motel occupancy tax for anyone using the motel for an illicit affair. Yeah. I think that may be absolutely right.
Well, would that include whipped cream licking?
All of it, yeah. Is that what Barr did? Yeah, he licked the whip
off the dancers'
breasts.
Parts.
Yeah.
Naughty bits.
Naughty bits. Yeah, the naughty bits. And Pamela writes in, Mike, I've been lurking out here listening but not seeing any comments tonight. Show change that of a good friend who died of the human version of Mad Cow this spring. It took her very quickly from a fall and a noticeable problem with balance. Her disease progressed rapidly to death within months. At the end, she was bedridden and unable to speak. We are told that her case was extremely rare and one in a million. But I was talking to another friend who also knew people, two people who died from this disease. My son knows a pathologist who tells him that it's much more common than the American public is told. So what the hell is going on? Well, thanks, Pamela. And I'm sorry to hear about the death of your friend. BSE is what I think it's called, bovine spongiform encephalitis. Is that what it is? No. Jakob Creutzfeldt disease in humans.
Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease.
Do I have it backwards?
Yeah.
Creutzfeldt-Jakob and BSC if it's in cattle or, in cattle. I'm sorry for the death of your friend. What's going on is it is much more important for corporate America and these huge slaughtering machines and feedlots and packing companies to continue to make their profits than it is to protect the American public. Now, I can say the same about any corporate entity in the country, any industry in the country. The idea of corporate responsibility, first of all, is an oxymoron. There is no such thing. The only way a corporation is responsible is if it is forced to be. That's the entire scope of why there are regulatory agencies. Because capitalism or corporatism left alone will continue to chew through everything until there's nothing left to gnaw on and destroy and eat. And the idea put out there by the Republicans that there should be no limits, no regulations, nothing is asinine. It should be punishable. It should be punishable by long prison terms. What do they do in other countries when, backward countries, when people are caught cheating, using the capitalistic system to rip off fellow citizens? What happens? Quick trial out behind the building. A bullet in the back of the head. The body parts go on sale in, the UK, the United States, South America, wherever you can, where you can get the most for a kidney. That's why. The photo ID, the voter ID cards that the Supreme Court ruled is just hunky-dory, no problem. Indiana, state of Indiana brought the suit that went before the Supreme Court. And, of course, there's never been a case in Indiana ever prosecuted. There's no, injured party in the state of Indiana on the side of the government. That said, yeah, look, all this voter fraud going on here, it wouldn't happen if we had ID cards. Here's one example, here's 50 examples, here's 1,000, 10,000, 500,000. There has not been one, but the Supreme Court, in its incredibly, don't say it, Mike. The Supreme Court ruled that voter ID cards is fine. Now, you know what's next? Did you read this in the Times today? The battle over voting rights will expand this week as lawmakers in Missouri are expected to support a proposed constitutional amendment to enable election officials to require proof of citizenship from anyone registering to vote. Not identification, but proof of your citizenship. Now, as the Times reports, the measure would allow far more rigorous demands than the voter ID requirement recently upheld by the Supreme Court, in which voters had to prove their identity with a government-issued card. Sponsors of the amendment say, well, this is just part of an effort to prevent illegal immigrants from affecting the political process. What? Illegal immigrants? Don't vote, you dumb bastards! Critics say the measure could lead to the disenfranchisement of tens of thousands of legal residents who would find it difficult to prove their citizenship. Christ almighty. The Missouri Secretary of State, a Democrat, opposes the measure and estimates in that state alone it could disenfranchise up to 250,000 registered voters who would be unable to prove their citizenship. More on this when we come back. See where this goes?
Conspiracy-minded protesters of corporate greed. We who have nothing and most likely will till we all end up locked up in jail by conservative.
let's see. There I was sitting around the leader with the table with foreign leaders, looking at Colin Powell and Condi Rice. Yeah.
Well, what was that noise right at the beginning? It sounded like machine gun fire. 25 before the hour. So, the Missouri Secretary of State, Robin Carnahan, you know that name, don't you? A Democrat opposes this measure in Missouri. They're trying to pass a constitutional amendment in that state that anyone who wants to vote has to provide proof of their citizenship. This fast on the heels of the Supreme Court ruling that you had to have a government-issued ID card. Now, you knew it was going to happen, right? Anybody who has been following the ID card story has repeatedly said, people on the left, people on the right, like, oh, I don't know, Bob Barr, has been saying over and over again, or have been saying over and over again, yeah, first they want an ID card, then what? Eh? Well, here's the what. Here's the what. In most of the states that require identification to vote, you can use a utility bill, a paycheck, a driver's license, student, or military ID card to prove your identity. Now, remember, in the Democratic primary election last week in Indiana, several nuns were denied ballots because they lacked the required photo ID. Just the photo ID. So, what's going to happen? Well, supporters of this measure in Missouri cite growing concerns that illegal immigrants will try to vote. This is called preemptive strike, I guess. The people who support this in Missouri say proof of citizenship measures are an important way to improve the accuracy of registration rolls and the overall voter confidence in the process. No, you dumb bastards. Here's how you do that. Get rid of the voting machines in Missouri. Get rid of them. Have somebody show up and show a photo ID if you need to have a photo ID. What about your voter registration card? When did that become useless, huh? You right-wing jackasses just make me sick to my stomach. You really do. State Representative Stanley Cox, a Republican from Sedalia, Missouri, and the sponsor of this amendment, said that the Missouri Constitution already required voters to be citizens. No kidding. Really? And that his amendment was simply meant to better enforce that requirement. That's all. Just trying to enforce the law. Do you have any children I can molest? Oh, wait. No. I'm not going to be discovered about that for another month or two. Strike that. Mr. Cox said, the requirements we have right now are totally inadequate. You can present a utility bill, and that doesn't prove anything. Lily Lewis, a voter who lives in St. Louis and spoke at a news conference last week organized to oppose this amendment, said she already had a difficult time trying to get a photo ID from the state, which asked her for a birth certificate. Ms. Lewis, who was born in Mississippi and said she was 78 years old, said officials of that state sent her a letter stating they had no record of her birth. Ms. Lewis said, quote, that's downright wrong. I have voted in almost all of the presidential races going back I can't remember how long. But if they tell me I need a passport or birth certificate, that'll be the end of that, end quote. I'm going to guess that Lily Lewis is probably an African American. Because in Mississippi 78 years ago, why would they give Negroes a birth certificate? There was no reason to give a black person a birth certificate. How many older black folk are going to be disenfranchised in the state of Missouri? Now, that's not bad enough. There are 19? No, it's not 19. Quick, how many? Yeah, at least 19 state legislatures are considering proof of citizenship requirements in order to vote. Huh? You like that? John Hickey is the executive director of the Missouri Progressive Vote Coalition. He said today, quote, the proposed amendment is similar to a 2006 law that the state Supreme Court struck down. The Secretary of State, Carnahan, estimated it would have disenfranchised 250,000 registered voters. Particularly hard hit would be people with disabilities, since they frequently don't have driver's licenses, African Americans who are less likely to have cars, Katrina survivors, many of whom have ended up in Missouri. This amendment would mean that people could no longer use their voter ID card, which is mailed to voters and doesn't have a picture. They couldn't use utility bill, driver's license, or student ID from a private school as identification to vote. The amendment's backers can offer no examples of voter ID fraud at all. Linda Brown is the executive director of the Arizona Advocacy Network. She said today, quote, "Shirley Frieda Priest is a sharp and delightful 97-year-old who has voted in every presidential election since FDR's first. She was born at home in Clinton, Kentucky in 1910 and never had a birth certificate. She never left the country, so she has never needed a passport, and she no longer has a driver's license. She has a Social Security card and a Medicare card, neither of which are acceptable proof of citizenship in Arizona. She moved to Arizona so her son, a World War II veteran, and his wife could help look after her. They have a file an inch thick documenting her attempts to register to vote since moving to Arizona 2 years ago. But because she cannot prove her citizenship to the satisfaction of the state of Arizona, it is likely that this will be the first presidential election she will miss since she first registered to vote more than 75 years ago. She was very upset when she was denied the opportunity to vote for the first female major party candidate for president in February's presidential preference election. In the drive to thwart the mythical voter fraud, Shirley Priest is collateral damage. Arizona has a long, shameful tradition of voter suppression. The Voting Rights Act of 1965 actually names Arizona as one of the states that can't pass laws on voting without approval from the Department of Justice. I'm going to guess that Shirley Frieda Priest is a white woman. So now we have, according to Malloy's guess register, an elderly black woman and a much more elderly white woman who are going to be denied the right to vote if such a hideous little scummy Nazi right-wing Republican bill should pass. But you know what? It will. Because the people of Missouri will be told over and over again by the crazies, over and over again, they're going to steal our election. They'll put a Muslim in as governor. You want that? Why do you hate America? Freedom isn't free. And I'm guessing that enough voters in Missouri, Democrat, Republican, and Independent, are just half-witted enough to say, that's right. And if you walk up to one of them, and say, can you give me one example of voter fraud being perpetrated here in the state of Missouri to the extent that someone has to prove their citizenship in order to vote, they will look at you and say, freedom isn't free. The terrorists are all over the place. You want terrorists voting here? You know, the time's going to come when a program like this will be to maybe a handful of people just a dim and distant memory. You mean they actually had people on the air? Malloy, Rhodes, Hartman, Werby, Collins, Cedar, who actually talked about this kind of stuff? Actually made a stink about it? You're kidding me. Really? When was that? And more importantly, whatever happened to those people? I'm looking at this stuff and I'm thinking, wow, you know, prove your citizenship. Son of a bitch. Prove your citizenship. Well, I'm sure it'll pass. If it makes it onto the ballot in Missouri, it'll pass. The Republican pissant that's suggested this, who is bringing this, I don't know how referenda work in Missouri, but apparently one jerkwad like this guy can get something on a ballot, right? Got to stop those foreigners from coming over here and influencing our the outcome of our elections. Is he kidding? Is he serious? Are there people in Missouri who honestly believe there is this huge tidal horde of illegal immigrants who are just waiting for the next election so they can all rush in and vote for a Mexican or something? Well, what is wrong with you people? What is wrong with you people?
Freedom cry from deep inside.
Mention yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. Excuse me. On some days at the Malloy blog site, Kathy will blog, and today she used Edward Luttwak's column in the New York Times. If you don't know who he is listed as at Wikipedia as an American strategist and historian known for his many publications on military strategy, history, international relations. He is also a great defender of the State of Israel. Even though he is an American citizen, nothing wrong with that. He has argued that humanitarian intervention, like, for example, in Darfur or Serbia, should not happen at all. He claims that it might be best for all parties to let minor wars burn themselves out. Okay, that's, you know. Anyway, in the latest attack on Barack Obama, and I love the way this is done, because there is nothing that Luttwak said today that is factually incorrect. But he points out that since Senator Obama is half African by birth, and Africans can understandably identify him with him, that's a plus. In Islam, however, Luttwak says, there's no such thing as a half-Muslim. Like all monotheistic religions, Islam is an exclusive faith, like, you know, Christianity and Judaism. I added that part. As the son of a Muslim father, Senator Obama was born a Muslim under Muslim law, as it is universally understood. It makes no difference that, as Senator Obama has written, his father said he renounced his religion. Likewise, under Muslim law, based on the Quran, his mother's Christian background is irrelevant. Senator Obama, to most Americans, is not a Muslim. He chose to become a Christian, and indeed has written convincingly to explain how he arrived at his choice and how important his Christian faith is to him. His conversion, however, is a crime in Muslim eyes. It is irtidad, or ridda, usually translated from the Arabic as apostasy, but with connotations of rebellion and treason. Indeed, it is the worst of all crimes a Muslim can commit, worse than murder. With few exceptions, the jurists of all Sunni and Shiite schools prescribe execution for all adults who leave the faith not under duress. The recommended punishment is beheading at the hands of a cleric, although in recent years there have been both stonings and hangings. It is true that the criminal codes in most Muslim countries do not mandate execution for apostasy, but as a practical matter, in very few Islamic countries do the governments have sufficient authority to resist the demands for the punishment of apostates at the hands of religious authorities. Because no government is likely to allow the prosecution of a President Obama, another provision of Muslim law is perhaps more relevant. It prohibits punishment for any Muslim who kills any apostate and effectively prohibits interference with such a killing. At the very least, that would complicate the security planning of state visits by President Obama to Muslim countries because the very act of protecting him would be sinful for Islamic security guards. Wow. Now that is a spirited attack on the Obama nomination. Don't you agree? Well, if he's elected, you see, it doesn't make any difference what he was before he was born. He was born a Muslim. Even though he was not a Muslim, his father was a Muslim, which makes him a Muslim. Like in Judaism, if your mother was a Jew, you are a Jew. In Islam, if your father... Yeah, blah, blah, blah. So, Mr. Lutwak makes the incredibly... I can't find the word. Incredibly incendiary? Is that? I don't even know. Charge, on the editor op-ed page of the New York Times, this is addressed to Americans. Because if this is true, and I'm not doubting Professor Lutwak's experience with Sharia or Islamic law or what have you, but if it is true, then every Muslim on earth already knows it. So who was the column addressed to? That's right, American voters. Which American voters? Those considering voting for Barack Obama for the nomination of the Democratic Party. And who would those be? The ones who are not voting for Hillary. And why would Professor Lutwak do this? To save Barack Obama's life? Probably not. But you see, Hillary has said she will, what was the word she used about Iran? Not annihilate, obliterate. Whereas Obama has said he would sit down and talk. Oh, uh-oh. Hillary says obliterate. Obama says talk. Well, then let's find someone who can point out to the grossly ignorant and nearly unconscious American public that the election of Barack Obama would probably condemn him to death at the hands of a Muslim extremist. Well, I guess it's happened in the past, hasn't it? Was it Shimon Peres in Israel who wanted peace, who wanted to sit down and talk, who was murdered by a Jewish extremist? So I guess it has happened, hasn't it? I will be curious to see what sort of little explosions occur in the letters to the editor page of the New York Times tomorrow as a result of Mr. Lutwak's op-ed piece today. We'll be back with your phone calls. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. 6 and a half past the hour. My God, I'm getting emails from Sweden about this. Sorry. It is not Shimon Peres who was assassinated by a fundamentalist right-wing Jew. It was Yitzhak Rabin. Sorry. Thanks to everybody who sent in the correction. I looked at Kathy like, Peres, right? And she's busy, and she just gave me that little wave like, yeah, whatever. Shimon Peres is still alive today at 84. Anthony Wright serving as the president of Israel. Yitzhak Rabin. Mea culpa. But thanks for the correction. The stimulus checks that Bush, the stimulus checks, oh my God, the 300 or 600 or 1200 or 900 or whatever. I love this. It says some taxpayers expecting a stimulus check from the federal government may be in for a surprise when their check comes up short. That's because you may owe Uncle Sam money. And that debt may be taken out of the check. So instead of the government waiting for the payment, the IRS is deducting it straight from the stimulus check now. The debt could include back taxes, unpaid student loans, or child support. An IRS spokesperson said Congress did pass a law which obligates the IRS to offset, if you will, any type of refund, stimulus payment, overpayment, whatever you want to call it, that comes from the federal government to any obligation that has been reported to the IRS. So if you have student loans or you owe them $200 that you're in dispute about or whatever, forget it. What else do we have? Oh, yeah, last thing here, and then let's do some phone calls. The number is 800-989-1480. Where did this come from? Oh. Well, anyway, somebody sent this to me, and it says they. That would be... I guess this was on Democratic Underground. I think it was on democraticunderground.com. Yeah. And the poster there said they couldn't actually find a newspaper clipping that was titled what they wanted. What they wanted, they being the Clinton campaign. Obama attacks Clinton gas tax plan. That's what the Clinton campaign wanted. So they made one up. They made up a newspaper clipping. And it's very clear. If you go to Democratic Underground, you can see it. It's very clear. It says, Obama attacks Clinton gas tax plan over kind of muddied out copy from a newspaper. It looks like the headline of an article, and then there's the article. Okay? And the poster, the person who wrote this said they made up the headline, but they attached the headline to a Troopergate article. Remember Troopergate? Troopergate was the name of the alleged scandal involving allegations of two Arkansas state troopers that they pimped for then-Governor Bill Clinton. The allegations by state troopers Larry Patterson and Roger Perry were first reported by David Brock in the American Spectator in 1993. This is before David got converted and became and realized who he was working for. The story mentioned a woman named Paula.
He took it out. He showed it to me in the hotel room. I saw it.
Paula Jones, remember her? Well, anyway, so somebody at the Clinton campaign really screwed up. And the poster at Democratic Underground said, I noticed because I wanted to read the article and several words or phrases were quite readable. Then I saw it. Quote, Troopergate. Not once, but twice, sticking out like a sore thumb. Then I could read several other phrases. Quote, had notarized a written statement signed by the governor's former communications director, whether he has a private attorney to represent him in the Troopergate scandal, end quote. Blah, blah, blah. See for yourself. Here is the link to the ad from Clinton's website. It's HillaryClinton.com. And then there's a new video there, I guess, unless it's been taken down now, that says Obama attacks Clinton gas tax plan. And these dumb
bastards in the Clinton campaign used a Troopergate article and tried to blur out the words. Why didn't they use something about the price of bags of concrete in East Kneecap, Alabama? No! They use a Troopergate story. And if you're not familiar with Troopergate, go to Wikipedia, you'll find it. Unbelievable stuff. It's just unbelievable stuff. But what did I hear Hillary say today? That the primary in West Virginia is so important that it will determine the outcome of the nominating process. And the really? To your phone calls. Starting with... ouch. Starting with, let me see here. Jay is calling from Atlanta, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Jay.
Hey, speaking of someone who agrees with you that we can't, that Barack and Hillary have a lot of shortcomings, yet they still must be the one to beat McCain because McCain is Bush. Based on those two things and the fact that somehow it's still questionable which one of them can beat McCain, would you agree that most people would agree Wes Clark would be much more appealing to anybody who would consider McCain than Barack or Hillary?
Now, wait a minute.
Isn't Wes Clark more appealable to people who won't automatically vote for the Democrat?
I think Wesley Clark would be appealable to a lot of Democrats.
Well, that too. That goes without saying. But I'm saying it's imperative to beat McCain. I don't understand why everyone isn't saying, gee, if we had just nominated Clark, like we should have last time, then nobody would think McCain could possibly beat Wes Clark.
Well, there's just one problem, and that is Wesley Clark is a Democrat.
Well, that's a problem for who?
Well, it's a problem for him. He's not going to want to be nominated as the Republican candidate for president. He's a Democrat.
No, I wasn't saying he would be the Republican candidate. I was saying that if the Democrats had enough sense to nominate him this time, that and he was a nominee at this moment, then would there really be any question that McCain might beat him in the next election?
Well, but the only other problem, Jay, is he's not running.
Well, he actually wanted to run, and he said he wouldn't have the support and money, so it couldn't happen.
Well,
but if we all made it clear that we had enough sense to realize this would be much better than either Hillary or Barack, it could happen.
If Barack Obama really wants to go for the jugular in this race and really wrap it up very quickly before the first vote is cast, he will pick Wesley Clark as his running mate.
Yeah, but then people will wonder why the ticket's not reversed, but better than nothing, I guess.
Well, again, it's because Clark is not running.
But he wants to run. He's qualified, and he would be happy to have the job. He said so before. It's only because of bureaucratic...
Right. As you pointed out, somebody pointed out, it takes money to be president of the United States. So at this point, it would be amazing to see a Barack Obama, Wesley Clark ticket. And for people listening to me right now who are you know, really, really, really progressive Democrats and want to remind me that he was the head of NATO when NATO attacked Serbia, all I can say is, yeah, you're right. But if there is a real desire on the part of the Democratic Party to get control of the House, the Senate, and the executive branch for probably the next, half century, that would be the ticket to start it. Obama, Clark.
Well, hey, thanks.
Go ahead, Jay.
Well, in light of all the talk about brokered conventions, because Hillary is going to put up a fight and all that stuff, regardless of whether or not you agree with that idea that the two parade delegates can do whatever the hell they want, they could all get together and go, you know, that makes a lot of sense. Let's just give it to Clark and the story. And unless anyone has a better reason why that's not a good idea, I'd love to hear it.
All right. Thanks, Jay. I appreciate your comments. At this point, I seriously doubt that Clark... Look, the country has already... first of all, it's not going to be a brokered convention. It's going to be Barack Obama getting the nomination at the convention. Secondly... I think Clark, Wesley Clark, is enough of a political realist to realize that the country is choosing. That's what this horrible, hideous, long drawn out process has been about. And Wesley Clark does not impress me as the type of man who would stand up and say, "Okay, look, he can't win it, she can't win it. I'll be the nominee."
But I think Barack Obama and Wesley Clark would make an unbeatable ticket. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
And now a soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malone.
It is 21 past the hour. I got an email from Lee here. Mike, just wanted to let you know, Obama spoke to a crowd of around 10,000 people tonight in Louisville and had to turn away 2,000 more. The line was 7 blocks long to see him. Not bad for a state he's supposed to be behind in by 27 points. Yeah, right. Okay. When is it? Tomorrow? There are primaries tomorrow? Okay. Back to your phone calls. Who do we have here? Philip is calling from St. Louis, listening on Sirius. Hey, Philip.
Hi, Mike. I had an answer for you about the voters in Missouri.
Wait, start all over again. I couldn't hear the first part.
I'm sorry. I had an answer for your question about the voters in Missouri.
Oh, okay.
The perchlorate in the water. St. Louis is one of the biggest perchlorate sites, thanks to Uncle Bucky Bush. It's all over the place. He produced rocket fuel here, you know, by thousands.
Wait,
let me
put you on hold for a second, Philip, because our associate producer will pick up the call and talk to you. You're not coming through, and I'd like to hear what you've got to say. David is calling from Pittsburgh, listening via the internet. Hey, David. Hey, David.
Michael. You know, first let me say, I think you're the best, and I don't know why you're not everywhere in this country. Now we disagree. And there's no doubt about that, what I said before I'm going to say. You know, I'm a progressive, very progressive Democrat. I don't even like to say I'm a Democrat, but... we're carrying a yoke around our neck for people who aren't progressive.
What?
I don't know.
David, I'm afraid I'm not understanding what the point you're trying to make here.
What's going to happen is we're going to lose another election.
Why?
Because as progressive people, we're helping even people who don't even support us. And it's time for us to win.
Who are we helping to support that don't support us?
As a block, blacks are not progressive at all. They're not progressive like us. Why do we
Wait a minute. Who's
election
us?
Election after election.
Wait. David, who's us?
And that's who's killing us.
David, who's what? Us?
The progressive Democrat.
Oh, no, wait a second. You're saying that black folk are not progressive like us. Who is us?
They're not on social issues or any other issue. War, social issues. They're not.
Have you ever heard of a black man named Martin Luther King Jr.?
I did.
And do you think? Wait a second,
please,
David. Do you understand, David? No. Listen, put him on hold. I can't take this crap. Do you understand, David, how thoroughly racist you sound? Not to mention the fact that you're completely wrong. If you want to make generalized statements, and see, this is what white people do. This is what white people do. They make generalized statements about them, black folk. Are you out of your mind, David? Do you honestly believe that there are 40 million people in this country, those would be African Americans, who think exactly the same, and they're not progressives like us? Leave me out of your us. What the hell is wrong with you, David? We're going to lose. Why? Because we have a Negro who is going to be at the top of the ticket? Are you out of your mind? Are you crazy? Don't put me in your us. I don't belong in your us, David. Nah, leave me out of it, all right? You go ahead. You go ahead. Have fun. David. Oh, my God. You're not a progressive. You're just a run-of-the-mill racist. That's all you are. Sorry. I won't tell anybody. RB is calling from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, listening on XM. Hey, RB.
Michael, how are you?
I'm all right.
Hey, listening to you on XM, it's not the same show.
It's not?
Well, do they pick it up an hour later or something?
Yeah, they only carry the second 2 hours of the program, which would be 10 to midnight Eastern. Hold on, RB. Let me put you on hold. We'll come back right after the break. This is Nova M. I'm Mike Malloy.
Thick as a brick. That I feel is so far away. I'm a bad dream that I just had today. And you shake your head and said it's a shame.
Conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
Yeah, quite a few progressives, too, apparently. It's 25 before the hour. Back to RB, who has called in from Saskatoon. All right, RB, where were we?
Yeah, what they do is they take the first 2 hours and play it an hour later.
Oh, is that what they do?
Must be what they do. But anyway, the reason I phoned originally was about Bart Cox theory. You know, the one where George Bush the first threw the election back in 92 on purpose because to keep the Iran-Contra, you know, thing all underneath?
Yeah.
Well, I extrapolate it and I say, well, why would he throw the election to somebody he wouldn't trust and couldn't control? And I've always wondered about that. And then we tracked down the Mena, Arkansas thing, and what was going on in Arkansas when Bill Clinton was governor, and they were running that Iran-Contra deal out of Mena, Arkansas, that airport, and Barry Seal, remember him crashing his plane and all that?
Uh-huh.
Well, couldn't it be that the Clintons got compromised way back then, and they've always been just, Democratic, they're put into charge of the Democratic and National Party there with Terry McAuliffe and all those guys, and their main goal is to make sure the Democrats stay on the right.
You're asking me two things there. First of all, I call me naive, but I don't think that Bill Clinton was involved in the drug running that occurred at Mena Air Base in Arkansas back in the 80s.
Well, he wouldn't have fault. He just
well, not, no, I don't think he knew anything about it. The way I got the story from reliable sources, I don't mean people I know, but just from reading books about that hideous time about Iran-Contra, was that the MENA, Arkansas air base was declared just off limits to everybody. It was a CIA black ops, and they told the governor and the legislature and everybody, this is our baby, stay away from it. You don't need to know. This has to do with the war in Central America, has nothing to do with Arkansas politics. And it's my understanding that the authorities in Arkansas said, oh, okay, fine, you know, whatever. The fact that George Herbert Walker Bush and Oliver North and the rest of these bastards were running drugs, I don't think there's any question about that. That's how they funded the creation of the CIA bandit gang called the Contras. But I don't think Clinton even knew about it. I really don't, RB. I mean, I just, you know, and I don't let Clinton off the hook, you know, for things that I think he's culpable for. But I just don't buy that one.
I know, it just seems kind of funny how Bill Clinton and George Bush Sr. are so chummy and all that, and I don't know. And the way that...
Well, I agree with the second part of your statement. Bill Clinton is just another corporatist, just like George Herbert Walker Bush. That's all they are. But I don't think that Clinton was involved in the drug running or had any knowledge, by involved, I mean had knowledge of what was going on in his state. And again, call me naive, that's fine, but I just can't get my mind around that. But you're right, Bill Clinton's a corporatist, so is Hillary.
And what really bothers me is how she's staying in this race, and then today or yesterday, McAuliffe brings up the fact that, well, you never know, something catastrophic might happen. And then you read reports like Hillary Clinton and her election people, or whatever, about 6 months ago, meeting with members of the Israeli government, including the guy who runs the Mossad, the director of the Mossad, you know, in a private meeting. And you want, well, what the heck? Why be so reckless in your statements like that? And what happens if something happens to Obama? Do you think this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if Barack Obama, if something does happen to Barack Obama, I tremble for my country.
And then you have this foreshadowing by the guy in the New York Times writing, well, you know, he might get assassinated by a Muslim, by evil Muslims.
Yeah.
You know, if that something does happen to Barack and they have us thinking that way already, wouldn't it be great to start keep that the war of civilizations going? And here's another reason why.
Yeah.
It just makes me wonder, you know.
Yeah. If you have say what?
I said, you carry on with your own bad self.
All right. Thanks, RB. I appreciate you checking in. Anyone who hasn't read that entire column today by Lutvak in the New York Times, you got to read it. It's just, again, like I said, there's probably nothing factually incorrect. I do not understand, or I should say I don't have any working knowledge of some of the intricacies of Islam. The apostate charge, I don't know that if Barack Obama is a Muslim by birth because his father was, and then he chose Christianity and yada yada yada. But the interesting part was that Lutwak, who has been associated over the past 40 years with every single neocon right-wing organization in that you can think of as a philosopher, a columnist, what have you. I just found it incredible to sit there this morning and read that column or that op-ed piece. You know, like, you've got to be kidding me. This is the plan now to point out the fact that Obama might be murdered by a Muslim because Obama is not a Muslim any longer? Oh, Jesus. Let me see here. Mark is calling from Los Angeles, listening on KTLK.
Hi. I wanted to applaud you for talking about the caging in Missouri. That's one of three major things that are going below the radar. The other is the 9/11 style tactics of disruption that may occur. And the third that's a real major aspect that's going under the media's radar is Hillary's long-term style of campaigning that's been illustrated in Carl Bernstein's book, her biography. It's a tactic that they use. They use long-term preparation techniques for their elections. I believe Hillary is preparing herself for the 2012 election. She's purposely sabotaging Obama's campaign. She went on. She quoted a AP story that said that her supporters were hardworking white voters. There's a couple slurs in that one statement alone. One, that white people are the hardworking people in America, and two, it's racially dividing the election. She's spent over $20 million, and it's growing in debt campaigning. I just really believe that she is, like I said, campaigning for the 2012 election. And there's more, if you want to talk about it, that makes me believe that she is seriously involved with helping and involved with the GOP strategists in other respects. But I don't know if you have enough time to talk about those points as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. Bottom line, what is it you want me to do, Mark?
Well, I guess the best thing that the people can do is try and find groups that they can get involved with locally and nationally.
Mm-hmm.
I would really suggest that. They can form groups. They can educate themselves. They can write letters to their newspapers. They can post videos on YouTube. I would encourage you personally maybe to get involved with some of the other hosts. Richard Green from Clout has offered the olive branch to you. He really likes your show. He's publicly stated it quite a few times on his show. If the radio hosts could get together and help get involved with some of the movements in 9/11 truth and really actually put a spotlight on the election tampering that's going on.
Hey, watch out! Don't get run over.
Yeah. The election tampering, I would say, is the biggest issue to forge forward, and then 9/11 style tactics of martial law being declared during an election to disrupt activities.
Yeah, it'll be very very. I'm very curious, and thanks, Mark. I appreciate you calling in. I'll be very curious to see what's going to happen on big election day in this country in November. William is calling from Cincinnati, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, William.
Oh, hello, Mike. I wasn't going to call them. I was prompted by Dave. He seems to misunderstand it. Black folks are born on the left. You know, because just by the circumstances of living here in America. Now, the situation is that some people, a few, become corrupted, you know, by religion or money or whatever, and wound up on the wrong side. But we're by far progressives, left on the left. You know.
Well, I certainly can't make a decision about black folk in general. And it's been pointed out to me over and over and over again that any white person that starts his point of view by saying this is how they do blank is demonstrating right at the outset that he's a fool. And
real quick, Mike.
Well, hold on. Let me put you on hold, William. Let me put you on hold because I got to do this break and then we'll come back and pick it up there. All right? Stay with us. I'm Mike Mullet. This is Nova M. It is 10 before the hour. Thanks to Ian Huff, who engineered the program, answered your calls, Billy Foster, our technical director, Ben Birch, our podcast manager, Chris in Minnesota, the senior correspondent of this program, Bob Alexander, our resident philosopher, Bridget Wolf, our writer in residence, Sharon Gordy, our military affairs correspondent, and Catherine Bay, our executive producer. If I haven't mentioned it lately, do become a Nova M founding member. You get free downloads and podcasts whenever you want them. All kinds of extra goodies coming your way soon. Plus, you want a T-shirt? There's some Malloy swag now available. The tote bag is great. Once again, congratulations to David from San Diego, who was the sweepstakes winner of the $10,000 Nova M Radio giveaway. Oh, and by the way, there's the new MikeMalloy.com. If you haven't gone to MikeMalloy.com, it's... Billy finally fixed it, made it all pretty with topic links. The topics you hear me discuss on this program, you won't have to frantically send me any more emails. Just go to MikeMalloy.com, and it'll say topic links. Is that what it says? And you'll be able to get the absolute URL to the topics we discuss on the program every night. All right? So it's all there for you. Now, back to William, who called in from Cincinnati. All right, William, go ahead. Thanks for holding on.
Okay, I was just going to say, I had a couple of picks I thought for Barack Obama's VP. My first pick was Bill Richardson. I thought he could bring in a Hispanic vote in somewhere where Obama's weak. But also, I also like Wesley Clark, I think. Mm-hmm. If he picked either one of those, he would be in good shape.
Yeah, I've my military affairs correspondent here in Georgia is a Wesley Clark fan, and she's more or less convinced me, in given the real politic of where we live, there are very few people running for anything in the United States today that I really do feel are true liberals, true progressives, what have you. But given the real politic of what we're dealing with, Sharon managed to convince me that probably Wesley Clark would be good on a ticket, a Democratic ticket with anybody. It's my understanding that he endorsed Hillary Clinton back in September of last year.
Yeah.
So now, I don't know if he's still there or what, but it really, at this point, I don't think it matters all that much. When was it? Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, by the way, I heard one of your other callers mention caging. I got a piece of caging mail in August, and I just received another piece last week.
Oh, my God, what is it? What did it say?
Oh, they say, well, you got to take and return. You got to fill this out. We don't know if you're still at your present address. You have to return it. You know, then both of them said the same thing. I returned the first one. Haven't returned the second one. But the thing is, what I do is I call down to the Board of Elections
right.
and verify my registration. But I've been getting that.
I would love to get one of those because I would take my baseball bat and find out where it came from.
I've been tempted.
And no, I'd walk in and just start cracking heads. I mean, seriously. So it's gotten to that point in this country. I'm so sick of these people trying to mess with the system that's fragile to begin with. And I can't wait for the day I get a card or something that says, if you have late fees due on your library books, you're not going to be able to vote. I just want to see what the return address is, and then I want to go there. And like you said, with a baseball bat or a lead pipe, one of the two.
Well, I'm out on the road right now, but when I get home, I can send you that what they sent me.
I'd love it. You can email it to me.
Yes.
All right, that'd be great, William. Just whenever. Okay. Mike@MikeMalloy.com. That's all you got to remember.
Okay. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for checking in. Take care. Ron is calling from New Jersey, listening on Sirius. Hey, Ron.
Well, yeah, how you doing, Mike?
I'm all right.
Okay, I just had an idea that, I don't know, it might sound crazy, but isn't it true that in some places, like, I think it was Germany, I heard, and places in the U.S. where if Cheney steps foot there, they said they have a legal right to arrest them because they held some kind of trial for that?
I'm sorry, say it again.
Isn't it places, I think it's a place like, some place like in Germany that held a trial.
Yeah.
Dick Cheney saying that if he ever stepped foot in Germany, that he can be arrested because of war crimes and things like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was. It may have been Germany. I think you're right. I know that one of those European countries. I think either they were talking about it and then decided not to, or talking about it and did it. But I think you're right.
Yeah. Well, the crazy idea I had is, why don't, since the American court system won't do anything, and the the media won't do anything about Cheney and Bush as far as the war crimes they committed and everything like that, is it a crazy idea for, say, like somebody like you to hold a trial on your radio station and have people, you know, like people that you know of that, you know, somewhat credible to be judge and jury, to help be judge and jury, or be jury, and have, say, like somebody from the right be defense for Cheney and Bush, and have people as you know, to argue the other way. I'm just wondering if something like that is plausible, is that you can do, and you know, and people at home that listen to you regularly can be a part of, and maybe the media will pick up on it. I'm thinking maybe the media pick up on it, because it seems like everything that happens and all the words that get out, nothing seems to be done. Even when I listen to Keith Oakman, and he gives all these, you know, run down all the charges every day about what Bush and Cheney do, and just seems to, you know, be blown off the air. I figured if it was to be, you know, if you were to do something like that, it would probably get you kicked off the air.
Well, I hear what you're saying, Ron, but it's got to be something that's real. And doing it on a radio program would not be real. But I understand your frustration, man. I feel the same way. I'll see you tomorrow night, True Seekers. Thanks for hanging out. All right? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.